You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I have a special guest, and she will be known as Vadic. Vadic is a political activist who writes the controversial blog, The Vadic Project. She puts out a daily brief free to subscribers, and it's not for the timid. To say that she deals openly with the daily underbelly of global conspiracies is putting it mildly. At 14, she met JFK personally, who thanked her and shook her hand and thanked the group of kids that were helping make his appearance possible. And that was one turning point. And another one occurred when she personally witnessed the events of 9/11 in New York. She refers to this mind-boggling reality as cognitive dissonance. Vadic is here tonight to share her experience and knowledge, so let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Vadic. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I laughed, I chuckled when you said that about the bluntness of my blog. Oh, that rhymes, doesn't it? Bluntness of my blog.
There you go.
And alliteration.
There's a refreshing quality that you add to it, which is I don't know if I can put my finger on it, but it's a very personal and gutsy, pithy way of presenting information. I mean, it's like, you know, if you were a guy, I'd say it had something to do with something else, but anyway, let's not get off on a side.
You almost got into trouble on that one.
Oh yeah, well, we're going to get into trouble anyway, so I'm just preparing the road. What was it like meeting JFK briefly? We don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but was that
I was 16 when I met him. I was 14 when I first got into politics because my mother was. And I would just go with her everywhere when she worked on campaigns. But I personally got involved for 2 years, from 14 to 16, and created the first kids organization in my high school. And we got thousands of people out. We did a cavalcade of car parade. We did all kinds of stuff. And got everybody out and worked with JFK's advance man for 2 days, putting it all together. And when he gave his speech, I was an usherette right in the front in an usherette. He stepped down. He was an incredible man. We lost so much with him. Stepped down from the stage, this very important man. Everybody's trying to get him off the stage. He stepped down onto the press table, onto a chair, and down onto the floor to walk over just to shake my hand and thank me for all the work I had done. His advance man had told him about me. And, of course, I tried to sneak into their hotel room that night, too. But
See, you might be lucky that didn't happen.
Yeah, right. I wanted to shake his hand, and he missed me at the airport.
That's why
I went there, was to, you know, to get him to shake my hand. And
I love that story.
Yeah, I got a lifetime of stories like that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we won't have any trouble filling an hour, will we?
Oh, no, not at all.
Now, you, I want to segue into your experience in New York. Because I only know the briefest of details about that, but before I go there, I was in pre-high school when JFK was shot. We all bought the idea that it was a lone gunman at the time, And since then, have you had a chance to...
Yes.
Okay. somehow, I'd like to have you tie that information into the 911 event.
Okay.
When we talked about that.
I was 18 when he was shot.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't remember this, but I, because of my experience with him at 16, you know, I was just an avid follower of the man, okay?
Yeah.
When he was shot, within 6 months, a film came out called Executive Suite. I know nobody remembers this. And on that movie, and you can get it now off of one of these free internet movie places.
Uh-huh.
And it, when you watch that movie, it is exactly what now, today, most of us believe.
Okay.
But back in those days, nobody believed it.
Yeah.
That it was about high-powered banking, corporate, and, of course, the CIA and other groups
right.
that had colluded to kill him.
Right,
and,
right.
And it was not us, you know, what's his name that shot him. It wasn't, you know, just the CIA. It was bankers and corporate executives
yes,
involved
yes.
as well. So
yeah.
it's, and now, as far as tying in, the guy in who spent 18 years in jail in Israel, Venusu, I think. Anyway, he just came out, a year ago or less, and told us point blank that Israel killed JFK.
Yeah,
and,
I heard that.
Mm-hmm, he came out and flat said it. And then we now know, you know, on my blog, I have a blog up that is, the title is, Israel Did 9/11, All the Proof in the World. And it is. I mean, it is
very
extensive, yes.
Explosive information. Now, we'll get into why you come to those conclusions and the other groups that are most likely involved with this, because it's not just one group. It's a... We're talking about a global network that is so well organized, and it operates like smooth as glass, so well that we're all
yes.
kept in the dark about 99% of the things that go on in the world, and that includes all of the lone gunman shootings. They're all probably related, the wars that are created. Now, let's segue into 911, because that was another turning point for you. You
yes,
were
it was.
In New York. Witnessing,
no.
weren't you?
No, no.
Oh,
I was
weren't.
On Raw. I had Raw live feed. The
okay.
difference between video and Raw live feed is that I am watching it as it happens because there's no, you know, I mean, it's being filmed as I'm watching it, okay?
Right, right.
That's the difference. And there was a major difference between Raw live feed and what showed on the video replays that night. Major difference. It was like two different worlds.
What I saw, and what the differences were.
Yeah, well, during the day, my sister called. I was working out of my house. I had a business. I owned a business at the time. And I had hired a woman to come over and help me. And so her and I were there together working. And the office was running itself, you know, with all my employees.
Yeah.
So my sister called when the first plane hit and told me it had happened. So we went immediately, dropped everything we were doing, turned on the television, and sat there all day watching everything. Okay. What happened was there was a cameraman standing right in front of the first building to go down. And he was filming, and he must have had it zoomed in because it looked like he was just right there at the, you know, the entrance to the building. Well, he was back a bit, and you could see both sides of the building. In other words, you know, not just the lobby, but the whole downstairs area. And when the explosions went off, and they went off, I saw them, they started at the ground floor, so it had to have been below ground, and went up, okay? And we watched the glass go out, just like we both, the first thing out of both our mouths was, oh my God, they planted charges. It was like a controlled demolition. You know, windows blowing out, glass going out, bam, 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 all the way up. With the exact same time difference between them of maybe 2 seconds each going up. And then the building started coming down, and I knew instantly, it hit me, there's no way anybody could have gotten into those buildings to plant that many charges to bring down that building unless it was an inside job. Well, you know,
Right. So you weren't in denial at all about this. You immediately grasped the significance of what you saw.
Yeah, but I had to. I had no choice. I wasn't given any time. I was an instant understanding that this was not done by anyone except on the inside. And it could not be, I instantly knew it could not be the people who owned the building by themselves, because they had no control over the planes flying.
Yeah.
Also, Dick Cheney, I knew from the night before FEMA was there. I had seen the press conference where they had talked about being there for war games.
Yeah, yeah.
And immediately all of that hit me all at once, and I knew that my elected government, sworn to protect and defend me and my country, had betrayed it. I knew instantly we had been betrayed. They murdered American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when I realized that they had taken a risk to do this,
mm-hmm.
that the agenda had to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be beyond anything I could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I went through cognitive dissonance. I immediately got ill. I doubled up. My stomach hurt. I mean, I had pain, horrible, grabbing pain in my gut. And I was doubled over the couch, and I started crying. I knew that the world as I had known it was gone, and it was never going to be the same. And I suffered physical shock reaction to that cognitive dissonance. Most people have time. In fact, most people have taken time to get to where we are today. I mean, they're catching up. But I didn't have that luxury. And I knew instantly everything that I had ever, everything was gone. I knew it.
Yeah.
And so I had to pursue this. So for 10 years, I have been sounding the alarm like the watchman on the tower. I've been sounding the alarm, warning people. And with my background in finance and political science and, you know, all that, I could see better than most what was going on, because I have a minor in macroeconomics.
Ah.
So, you know, so that made a big difference in my ability to understand what was going on. Plus, my business was in the finance area.
Oh, okay. So you were kind of almost, you were cut out for doing this, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like I'd been prepared my whole life.
Wow, that's amazing.
For this. Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, there's an additional element that I had never heard anywhere, and I think it has to do, I want you to tell us, because I don't remember this story or how it goes, but the landing of the plane with Bush and the clapping.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Tell that story and where that came from.
Sure. Well, as you know, they were covering, the press was covering this, the reporters were covering this all day long.
Yeah.
They covered Bush down in Florida, and then when he left, he flew to Nebraska, Well, none of us could figure out why Nebraska, but there, I guess the Strategic Air Command is there. Anyway, and when he landed, there were hundreds of people down on the tarmac when he came out of the plane, and they were clapping and laughing and celebrating like I had never seen before. And I just went, we just had a major tragedy. We just killed, at the time, we thought it was 12,000 people died.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah. You know, the 3,800 figure didn't come out until later.
Right.
So
right.
At that time, we're thinking 12,000 people died. And I was talking to my coworker, and I said, why are they clapping and laughing? This is so surrealistic. It doesn't make any sense. Well, we found out those were Goldman Sachs people.
Wow.
Those were Goldman Sachs people, and not anyone from Goldman Sachs got killed. They were all at that meeting, a meeting in same way with J.P. Morgan, I believe, who are also in the Twin Towers building. They were all at the airport greeting the president when he landed.
Wow.
And celebrating and clapping.
That's...
Because... And I never saw a replay of that again.
Well, and probably never will.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that.
No?
Let me tell you, I saw so much that day on Raw Live Feed that I never saw again, right? For years. In fact, I got married since then. I had my husband. I used to tell him, and he wouldn't believe me. and finally, one day... PowerPoint put out a video that someone had gotten clips of the video film to PowerPoint surreptitiously, and he put them together.
Oh!
And we watched. I ordered the video, and because I had to see it, and I ordered the video, and we played it together. My husband and I, we played it, and there it all was. It was all there except for the one scene, and I cried. I cried because do you know how hard it is to hang on, to know what you saw, and have everything around you, everything, say that you didn't see what you saw?
Yeah.
It is hard to hang on to that.
Yeah.
And even my friend, when I asked her, I said, you saw all this, right? And she said, oh, yeah, you know. And even that night when the news came out and it was totally alien from what we saw during the day, it was completely different.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked, you know, I called her and I said, am I crazy or, you know, are they not showing what we saw today? And she goes, no, you're not crazy. They're not showing what we saw today.
Yeah.
But do you know that about 8 months later, she started questioning? You know, I asked her again, and she goes, oh, no, we probably, you know, misread that. Then eventually she was buying into, it was Arabs that did it. Well, then I would ask her, how did the Arabs get in the building to plant the charges? That's what, you know, I need an answer to that question.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
and she couldn't answer it.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't go back and remember. She just...
Wow.
So that changed my life. I literally started on the internet for the first time and started with MSNBC, and then they started censoring. And because I started doing research, I worked 3 years as a legislative research analyst.
Wow.
And chief of staff for a House of Representatives committee in Washington State.
Oh.
And I learned how to research and to keep my bias out of it. And so I started researching, and I would then post what I found on MSNBC. Well, they started censoring. So then I had to find other forums, and... You know, and of course I got called tinfoil hat, conspiracy nut.
Right.
I got called anything but a human being.
Wow.
It was but I wouldn't give up. I couldn't.
Yeah.
The truth was there, and it had to be, you know, it had to be said. Well, Vatic Project got started because the censorship and the banning was increasing.
Yep.
And that was a year ago. And I had a friend who I was posting about Goldman Sachs before all this stuff came out about Goldman Sachs. And I had done research and found out a lot of stuff, and I was posting it on these different sites, right and left.
Wow.
You know, Newsmax on the right and Alternet on the left. And they would literally literally ban me.
Wow.
And anybody who followed me, you know, behind me, they were banning them too.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then I wondered about that. It was the right and the left. So then I discovered the concept of controlled opposition press.
Tell us about that.
Controlled opposition press. Well, have you ever read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion?
It might have been a while back.
Yeah, number 12 is about the three different presses that they created, that they master planned how to develop the press. And this is written 100 years ago. The first, what they call their first battery of press is their press, those that will always put out what they want published. Well, that's our mainstream press.
Okay.
So like Fox News is, you know, basically mainstream press. So is MSNBC on the left. But they're always going to be promoting what the bankers want out there, okay?
Right.
What I
right.
call the Rothschild Zionist bankers. That's
okay.
who's doing all, you know, all this at this level.
Yeah.
Remember, there's levels.
Right.
You know, but at this level, what I call the operational level, they control the mainstream media. The mainstream media asks no questions touches on any subject that the bankers don't want touched on.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
there's the controlled opposition press. That means there's Democracy Now! On the left, and there's GOP's press on the right. And if they've got access to radio, television, or major publications, then they're controlled.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
means their funding comes from the neocons. There is no right and left in this country anymore except at the grassroots level.
Yep.
There is no right
yep.
and left.
I totally agree with you, and that's one of the biggest illusions that people are going to have to come to grips with if they're going to see clearly. Is that the division between right and left is an artificial one, and it's created to manipulate
yes.
and keep us enslaved and confused and fighting with each other, so they can just
exactly.
keep sucking the money out of with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. In fact, they use that tactic in Iraq. They still use it.
Oh yeah. Oh
keep...
yeah.
Yep.
The military-industrial complex. They're making
mm-hmm.
a bundle. And then they sell weapons to the other side on top of it. I mean, it's just,
well,
it's a bottomless pit of corruption and greed and horrors. Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. But unfortunately, the worst part of it is what they do to the population in breeding distrust. So, like, for instance, I have on my blog tons of examples of how we got caught funding the Taliban. We got caught funding Israel, and Mossad and the CIA are paying the Taliban to do what they do so that we can go and say how bad it is and how we have to increase our troops and we have to do this and that.
Right.
And then they do the same thing. They've done the same thing in Afghanistan, and they're now doing the same thing in Pakistan.
Okay.
Yeah, so what the whole philosophy, it's a Rumsfeld Defense Department philosophy about how to conduct war. If you can create destabilization and pit one part of the population against the other, you save a ton of money because you get them to kill each other off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all you have to do is clean up.
Right.
And that's basically what's happened in Iraq.
Clean up, meaning literally clean up.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Get the Hoover out and suck the money out of their economy.
And they have destroyed that nation. They have destroyed
it. It was one of the oldest cultures in the world. And what has been done over there is a beyond...
An abomination.
Yes, it is. It is. And the sad thing is that we're so easily manipulated by the Patriot card. And all of these things that were used in Nazi Germany, like homeland, fatherland, homeland security.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
You know, what's-his-face, the guy who used to run Homeland Security, is the one who owns the companies that's selling those X-ray scanners to the airports.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and
Rumsfeld owns the company that, or is on the board of the company that sells the thing that's supposed to cure the bird flu. I mean,
well, listen to this about Chertoff. He also is the man who wrote into the Patriot Act. Now, he wrote this in. He did it. Not Tenet, not anybody else. Chertoff did it. He wrote into the Patriot Act that Israel would be exempt, immune from any consequences of any happenings on 9/11.
Wow.
Now, that was like, he didn't think anybody'd pick up on it, but they did.
Well, and we don't get this information.
I know you don't, because the press is totally tied up.
That's
right. It's controlled.
That's right.
It's totally controlled.
It is.
Now, we only got a half an hour left, so
okay.
Let's get into the juicy stuff.
Oh, all right. Go for it.
Okay, so I knew in my research, as I delved deeper into evil, and I saw for the first time the face of evil like I had never seen it before, and I'm not a young spring chick either. You know, I'm an old broad here. You know.
Okay.
I've been around, you know, I've seen evil. I have never, ever seen evil like this. This was not human. And so that sent me down another rabbit hole. I had to understand why, who are these people, why so many of them, and how did they all get all this power and money? I mean, you know, to where they could then literally destabilize the entire globe.
Right.
How could this happen? Who are these people? They are not normal humans. So I stumbled, much to my delight, upon a 13-video series that I put up on my blog that was done by Michael Sarian. And it's called The Origins of Evil. And that series is worth taking the time to go and view it. Now, let me tell you why I think he has hit on something that scares the heck out of these guys, because that has been purged from my blog 3 times now. The videos have all been purged. Then I got that all fixed each time. Then I go back. I got a question on one of my commentaries yesterday, and I went back to pull out that series to answer the question and to get the link, you know, to answer the question. And guess what? The blog isn't even where it was originally.
Oh my!
It was. I couldn't find it anywhere. I went to Google because usually if I can't find something on my own site, which is
hard to do,
you know, I went to Google and I put it in the search engine for, you know, Vatic Project, and then I put, you know, Michael Sarian, Origins of Evil. And I wanted the 6 through 13 series, so I put that in. And it came up saying, there is no such animal.
Wow.
And I went, okay, so now Google's not showing it.
Yeah.
So there's something important in that series of videos. Well, I finally found it. That was on the very first blog we ever did, which was way back in January of 2010. And they had buried it way back there. They had taken it off where I was and put it back there. Okay. I pulled them back up, and I've put them up again, because every time they do something to me, I do it worse back.
Good for you.
You know?
Well, you
know. So what I... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, at some certain point, you just can't take it anymore. You've got to fight back. You know, it's like, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah. I never went through that stage of I've had enough. I've had it since the beginning when I saw that day.
Okay.
I have been like this ever since.
Tell us about Michael Tessarian's. Michael Tessarian.
Okay.
Yeah, because I agree with you. He's one of the most important people around today.
Yes, he's more important than almost any of the other, you know, Jordan Maxwell, great guy and all that. But
right, right.
I'm going to tell you now, Michael Tessarian has hit it on the head. He is absolutely right on. Everything, it's the only thing I've seen, and he even uses Isaiah. Isaiah talks in there, like on chapter 13, verse 3, and he brings that up, and you go and you look, and you go, oh my gosh, why didn't I ever see this?
Why
is Noah's father, who is Enoch, one of the most important people in the Bible, okay, risen, was so important that he was risen up with the whole town, alive. They did not have to die.
Oh, okay.
Risen up alive to go straight to heaven, okay?
Yeah.
Why, if he was that important to God, why was the book of Enoch taken out of the Bible?
Huh.
Well, if you read the book of Enoch, he tells you what's going on, and I'm telling you, it's one of the few you don't have to interpret.
Huh.
He pretty much tells it like it is, that, you know, it's aliens. I mean, it's like, there's no doubt about
right.
it when you read his book. Well, that's why the Catholic Church, you know, back in the Nicene Conference, purged a lot out of there was over 1,000 writings that were purged of the people who were involved in everything, especially the apostles, and they were all purged out, and then Luke was put in, who had never walked with Christ or had never been an apostle.
I believe it.
So there's so much gamesmanship that has gone on in manipulating mankind for thousands of years, and that's what Michael Tessarian shows us, and he does it masterfully.
Yes.
Masterfully. The man spent 30 years researching all this, and it all makes sense. When you get through watching those 13, and I've watched them 3 times now, because I miss so much. You have to go back and rewatch and pick up more. But there's video number 8. It's just about the corporate logos all the corporations.
Yeah.
They're all occult, demonic,
yep.
satanic symbols.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that they've all been, originally they had a positive spin, and what these, the controllers, if you will, have done is they've turned them all around backwards. So they've put the negative spin on something that actually was intended to be a positive, and it's turned around for control purposes.
Yeah, well, actually, I think, well, there's more history as well on this. When you go back far enough, it's always been secret societies.
Yeah, yeah.
And initiations and basically magic, okay? Demonic, you know, being able to travel, you know, suspend your, you know, like being in the Matrix, the movie
right.
The Matrix.
Right.
You're able to suspend, they're able to suspend these things. They have these secrets.
Right.
And
right.
Only their bloodlines control these secrets, and they pass it on generation to generation.
That's right.
And I have a blog up that talks about black arts and black science.
Okay. While you're mentioning this, let's give everybody your website so that they can write it down.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's what I suggest you do, because they're harassing me, is just go to Google and put in VATIC, VATIC project, project, VATIC project. Now, if you want to try the website, here it is, www.vaticproject, all one word, .blogspot.com.
Wonderful. Okay, good. Good.
Okay.
So now continue with what you were saying about the secret societies and the bloodlines.
Oh, and the bloodlines. And, this is so hard. I wish we had, like, 2 hours.
Well, we can do another show together.
Okay, well, you know, if people want it. But let me tell you, the best way to deal with this is to go and watch this series. I'm serious.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock tonight, the first 5 went up. At 2 a.m. in the morning, the next, from 6, the 6th video through the 13th will be up. Now, I've put up, repaired the videos and everything. No, that doesn't mean they won't take them down again, but just keep checking back, because every time they do it, I put them back up.
Okay, now, there's another thing that you might be interested in, and the listeners might be interested in. You can get a free copy, an e-book, by Michael Sarian, and it's called Atlantis, Alien Visitation and Genetic Manipulation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a PDF file, and it is by far the most comprehensive overview of what's really going on here on the planet, which, as you said, it would take hours to go into this. Most people that are listening know this stuff. So, you know, we're preaching to the choir for the most part. But there's a lot that you can go back and pick up, and it continually surprises me how deep the rabbit hole goes. So, if you have a link to that, up to the PDF file, I'll send you a link to that, and you can put it up if you want.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because when he came out with the book, I found that book, oh gosh, maybe a couple of years ago, and I bought it, you know, and it was like $32 or something like that. Well, I lent it to a friend, and she wouldn't give it back to me. So it was like a whole year later, and I thought, well, all right, that's fine. I'll just go buy another one. And so I went to Amazon. The used book was selling for $225.
Yeah, that's
And there was no way I could buy that book.
They take it to the market. Yeah, you have to go to Michael's site, I think, to those things. But it is free on the internet so far. I mean,
good.
How long that lasts, I don't know.
Well, I think that's wonderful that he's doing that, because he could make money. You know, that means he's really doing that for us, and that's a commendable thing. And but seriously, reading this or watching those videos has explained so much that I had gaps and holes, but it explains everything. Now, do you remember on my blog, I did 2 blogs just on the Rh blood factor.
Yeah.
A negative, Rh negative blood factor, and that may very well be tied into alien blood. Everything in our bodies can be traced back through nature, okay, back to the smallest amoeba. But this one thing, Rh negative, which is a missing protein on the, like the O or the A or the B, creates a negative. That is nowhere in nature. Nowhere.
Huh. Whoa.
Nowhere.
Well, that's
it's not
surprising.
Not even mutations have a tracing about, you know, you can trace back. But this has none. Nowhere. Nothing. There's nothing to have been mutated from for that to have occurred. Also, I've got a blog on that shows that 10 strands of our DNA have been disconnected, and we only use 90%. We only use 10% of our brain. So I can't imagine how powerful we really are. That they spent millions and billions of dollars convincing us we're not.
Go ahead.
Michael Sarian said, "We are marvelous creatures living ordinary lives," and I think he's right. And I, all my blog on the December 25th and January 1st are proof of our power that they are afraid of. They're afraid of us, and I had no idea. They're afraid of us,
and they use fear to control us.
That's right, because they are afraid of us. That's why they want to get rid of us.
Right.
Because they're afraid of us. They don't want to be afraid anymore.
Right. But they also need us, because it's a symbiotic host-virus kind of relationship.
Well, they need some of us. They don't need as many as there are of us. You know.
Right.
They only need maybe, 500 million max. They can control that.
According to the Georgia Guidestones.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they put that. Did you know? I did not know this. The guidestones were put up by a Luciferian organization.
I did not know. I did not know.
Yeah, I found that out. It was a Luciferian organization in Georgia that paid for that and ordered it and got it put up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, not surprising. This is the darkest period. According to the Hindu Vedas and many other spiritual writings that you and I were talking about earlier, that we are in the darkest dark before the light,
right
at the end of the tunnel. And I have to believe for myself that in the long run, the light or goodness or the truth, whatever you want to call it, prevails. And that this is a learning experience for all of us, and that I think it's time for us to grow up and graduate.
Yeah. Well, the good news is I've got another blog up that was on December 25th, and on there is called The Thunderbolts of the Gods.
Oh,
and I really highly recommend people go look at that. It's about how our universe is not at all like what they have taught us. It's a plasma universe. And that is power and energy. And our connection to the sun and water is deeper than just life-sustaining for our bodies. Sun and water affect our DNA and is a direct connection to the you know, global consciousness or universal consciousness, but it's not esoteric. It's actually scientific. It's actually grounded in science. And also there's dark matter in the universe that is intelligent, and it pervades every cell in our bodies. And we're all connected through that dark matter. These scientists, I put up a whole series called The Power of the Mind. And I'm putting it up again in 2 days.
Good.
That we can see not to be helpless, not to feel, but not to go in denial. It's real important we don't go into denial. What we have to do is face our reality and become all that we are. We must become all that we are to fight this. And believe me, we are powerful. We are hugely powerful. They are stuck in this three-dimensional reality, and we are universal. Our spirits are connected and tied in and bright and shiny and love. I've got another one up. It's great. It's called The Heart as a Brain. They have finally determined the heart is a second brain. And I remembered an autopsy that had been done back a long time ago when Walter Winchell was still doing newscasting, and he said that they had found a whole ball of nerves behind the heart that were not connected in any way to the stem of the brain. And they couldn't figure out what this was. Well, if the heart is a brain and these things are connected to the heart, the article I put up shows that the heart brain is more powerful than the regular brain. The regular brain's limited. And that's what the evil ones count on is the head brain and not the heart brain. They don't have a heart brain. I think psychopaths are born without a heart brain.
They don't
have that connection. I'm sorry, I'm running all over you.
No. You're the guest. I'm so thrilled that you're bringing all this up, because this is all stuff that's is coming to light and is really important. Like the heart of the brain, for instance. You're saying everything that is really empowering for us to realize about ourselves,
and it's science. It's not just airy fairy talk.
Right,
this is science. You know, in the water series, you've got to watch the water series. Did you know that one molecule of water has a panel of 440,000 units of memory?
No.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and these scientists, I mean, they've done research on water. You remember the guy, the Japanese guy, that discovered that water picks up emotions?
Oh, yeah,
and
Matsuro Emoto.
Matsumoto, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, from that, Russian scientists, American scientists, Austrian scientists, British scientists had all started doing research on water. Because of those people that got sick in that meeting when they were all talking about the atomic bomb. And they drank the water and got sick, and there was nothing. They had not eaten the same thing. There was nothing in common that they had done except drink the water.
Wow.
And so that's what sent these scientists on the journey. Well, the water is tied into our consciousness. They showed experiments that they did thousands of miles apart between water memory and an individual and another individual. It was really awesome. That one is up on January 1st. So if you go to the archives, go to January 1st and look for water, the power of water, I think. I can't remember the name of it right off. But, January...
Wow.
1st and December 25th are nothing but all these kinds of things on consciousness, on DNA, on our power, our energy, on the plasma universe. That was great. The Thunderbolts of the Gods.
Yes, that sounds great.
Yeah, this is, we are powerful beings. I keep saying that on the blog. We are powerful, stay in our power, and they are in trouble. I'm serious. It seems like it's not, but that's because we're looking at it from a traditional way of seeing things. Well,
from
we can't
mind.
Look at things. Yes, exactly.
Not the mind, not the mind of the heart.
Right.
It's intuitive and vast and expansive and fast. But
right.
our minds are limited, like you said, and if they can
yep.
control our minds, then they control the reality
us.
That we
yes.
filter things through.
And even Christ taught that in the Bible. He said, you cannot have love in your heart, you cannot have fear in your heart and love for God at the same time.
Yes.
He said
yes.
He said that.
Wow.
And he gave
True.
Us the two greatest commandments. What are they? Love God with your whole heart and soul, and love your fellow man as yourself. And he called
yes.
them the greatest commandments. He
yes.
talked about the power.
Yes.
That's, you know, he talked about the power of that love.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not phony love. It's loving, like, you love your nation, you love your neighbor, and you're going to fight for them. It's like that kind of love. It's like sacrificing your life for 10 years to warn people because
yeah.
you love them, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want them hurt. You don't want them harmed.
He also said, love your enemy as well and turn the other cheek because your enemy is yourself.
That's a whole show. That's,
well, that alone, right there. Yeah,
we'll do another one on that one. Yeah. Because
so,
you have to be careful you don't get caught up in airy-fairy stuff that isn't real.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
okay.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. There's a real understanding to forgiveness,
yeah.
forgiving your neighbor or, you know, forgiving your enemy, all of that. There's a whole thing to that that's involved. So that's a whole show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And these things are really simple, and they're not complicated. It really does come down to opening your heart and loving others and caring and having compassion. And also,
right.
there's an element of the pursuit of truth as well, which, is what we've
oh,
been talking
critical.
About. Yeah.
Oh, it's critical.
Yeah.
Pursuit of truth is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have so many demons within some of us that we're stuffing down, and I think that's part of the mass problem is that we're in denial about our own stuff. And so
that's another show, and that's in Revelations.
Huh.
It said at end times there's nothing going to be more important than truth. It said that.
And
I believe it was talking about truth within ourselves, looking in the mirror, being honest.
Yeah.
I've had to confront my demons. I've had to confront my own BS.
I got some
BS too, you know, everybody does. But confronting it and releasing as much of it as you can will lighten you because... If not, those who can't are the ones who are going to suffer the most because this plasma is coming. We're already getting hit by the sun, in case you hadn't noticed. The sun is creating havoc with our planet right now, and that's nothing compared to when we do go through that alignment with the center of the galaxy.
Yes, and that's the 2012 event, right?
Yeah, that's in 2012.
Around 2012, yes, and we're in that right now. So, life is not a dress rehearsal. It's fired at us point blank.
Well, you know, I said this is the most. I'm excited. I mean, I know a lot of people are afraid, but I'm excited. This is like going on an adventure. We're pioneers.
Yeah.
We're going into uncharted, untested territory, and we're going in aware.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Never in the history of the planet has a group of people gone into it aware.
Yes, yes. And people are waking up all over the world. And
yes.
We're connecting and reuniting with the spark, divine spark within one another.
Yes,
and
we are.
I think it's going to be kind of like the ending of The Matrix, where Dr. Smith, or whatever his name was, Mr. Smith, he just starts cracking and the light starts coming out, and it just, it's an explosion of light.
Yeah, it's exciting times. Discovery of ourselves internally, discovery of each other, discovery of our universe. I mean, it's the information that I have been exposed to has been so fast and so big and so rapid, and I couldn't get it out fast enough.
Yeah.
I just wish I had a faster motor, because when you get it in, you need to get it out. You know, it's like, I've got to share this. I can't handle it all by myself. You know.
I hear
you.
Well, I have to thank you for digesting this like a bee digests pollen and makes honey, so that the rest of us don't have to do all that. And you just kind of hand it to us on a platter. And we're just about out of time, so I wanted to make sure that people know that they can find you at thevaticproject.com, right?
It's vaticproject.blogspot.com.
I've got a link up on my bio page, so all that people have to do is click on
it. Could you put up there for me, please, that if the link won't go through, will you please Google Vatic Project, and then you can click on any one of those, because there's pages of our blogs there.
Absolutely.
You can click on any one and go to homepage and start there.
Well, Vatic, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us tonight. This has been one of the most interesting shows that I've done so far, and I just think you're terrific. And I want to thank you from my heart for being you and for sharing yourself with all of us tonight.
Well, thank you, and I enjoyed it very much. And you're a real doll. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Okay. Well, we'll have to do another show. We'll be in touch. And to all the listeners, thank you for being here. And thank you, Vatic. And have a nice weekend, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Lance?